Welcome to New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas. I'm Stephen Spitz. Politics has reached a fever pitch over undocumented immigrants. They have emerged as a favorite subject of the Republican presidential candidates and have also become a target for aggressive new state laws, including ones right here in New Mexico. Joining me to discuss undocumented immigrants are Elsa Lopez, a community organizer for Somos Un Pueblo Unido, and Dr. Gabriel Sanchez, a UNM political scientist whose special focus is on Latino political behavior. Thank you both for coming.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Likewise.
Important topic.
Later in the show, and I want to talk to you both about Governor Martinez's announcement that she will again try to repeal the law that allows for undocumented people to obtain driver's licenses. But Elsa, I'd like to start with you and kind of get your general take. Do you see the recent targeting of undocumented immigrants in states like Arizona, Alabama, and in New Mexico? Do you see this as a discrete effort to deal with sort of the dilemma of undocumented immigrants, or do you see it as something more problematic and broader that to the Latino community?
We certainly don't see it as a discrete effort. It's certainly well planned. We think it's part of a national agenda that has been drafted from Washington and has been delivered all over the country. We have seen in other states, not just here in New Mexico, we always know that the easiest target is the undocumented population. We recently had a community meeting in Clovis, New Mexico. We have about 2,000 members all over the state. And one of our community members there raised his hand and said, you know, I was living in Arizona in 1996. I had just recently moved there. He was able to obtain a driver's license then. And he said, but then I got a letter saying, I'm sorry, but your driver's license will be canceled because you did not provide a Social Security number. And then later, 14 years later in 2010, we saw what happened in Arizona. Even though we saw SB 1070 directed towards undocumented immigrants, it really affects all immigrant families. So it's definitely not just about undocumented immigrants. It's a tool, we think, to separate our families, to sort of create this division in our community and make it very clear that there are certain segments of our population that are not welcome.
So, Gabe, I'd like to bring you into the discussion and just ask you, you just heard Elsa's interpretation. How does that square with opinion research, if there is any, on how Latinos generally see the issue of undocumented immigrants and the recent targeting in Alabama, Arizona, and in New Mexico?
Add a couple points, and one in terms of, is this a broader issue than just looking specifically at undocumented immigrants or foreign-born population? I think it very much is. It's really perceived, at least among the Latino population, that it's about Latinos. And you could probably be even more specific about Mexican origin population. So at Latino Decisions, a survey firm that I'm affiliated with, we've asked a ton of questions about this issue. We've asked the Latino electorate. So it's really critical to clarify that. We're asking registered voters, likely voters. So all of those folks are citizens. We'll ask them questions, for example, do you believe that there's an anti-immigrant as well as an anti-Latino sentiment in the debate surrounding immigration? And the overwhelming majority of Latino voters out there are saying, you know what, this is a hostile climate, not just towards immigrants, but also towards Latinos, whether or not you're a fourth or fifth generation Hispanic American in the United States or somebody who's, you know, first generation just recently arrived in the United States.
So is that a change? Is there a change perception, say, in the last couple of years, or has that been fairly consistent?
I would say at least as we think about the correlation with the Latino or Hispanic population, probably things in terms of this climate got really hot around 2005. That's when you kind of saw a change in the tone, not just the policies themselves, but the how they're being debated, particularly among the GOP. And you really saw a backlash in terms of a counter-mobilization effort. You remember the huge marches around that time period were really a backlash against that sentiment, and things have only escalated from there. But one really critical point that I don't hear enough folks that are talking about the immigration issue really bring to the forefront on this issue, the elephant in the room is the economy. Throughout American history, anytime the economy has dipped, when we've seen recessions, when we've seen a lot of folks out of work, unemployment numbers high, in every single instance, immigrants got the shaft. Now we're talking about Latino immigrants, but in previous generations, we were talking about different immigrant communities. Whenever the economy is bad, politicians, business owners, everybody's looking for a scapegoat. And unfortunately, the undocumented population has the least amount of political power, so they've traditionally been that scapegoat. And this is just the most recent example of that larger trend or larger phenomenon.
Let's turn to New Mexico and the driver's license issue itself. Governor Martinez ran in the primary on repealing the driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants.
Right.
She ran in the general election on this issue. She then tried unsuccessfully in the first regular session to get the repeal. She tried again in the special session to do that. Now she's announced she's going to try it again in the January upcoming session 2012. So what I thought I'd like to do, Elsa, is start with you and say, what is it that the law currently provides that would be repealed?
Right, that's a really important question to start with. Well, the law in 2009 basically allows, that was passed in 2003, allows undocumented immigrants to use other identifying documents that instead of a social security number. So normally, if you have a social security number, you would use that to obtain a driver's license, in addition to proofs of residency and ID. And for undocumented immigrants, the law provides that they can use an individual tax ID number, which is a 9-digit number that the federal government, the IRS, gives to undocumented immigrants who will pay taxes, income
taxes.
Yeah,
that's a kind of a weird thing to Anglos, I think, because what most of us don't realize is that you can be undocumented and still be a good taxpaying citizen. And somehow the IRS doesn't notify the Immigration Nationalization that you are undocumented and living in this country and paying taxes. Right?
Well, they have one job, and that's to collect taxes. And that's their sole job. And so they will not share that information because it would hamper their ability to collect as many taxes as possible. And so that the law was passed, and since that law was passed, we have the current numbers is 96,000 immigrants without proper immigration status in the state have been able to obtain a driver's license.
Without a social security
that's
number
right.
who have obtained driver's licenses
that's right.
in the state. How many undocumented immigrants do you think are there in New Mexico?
Their rough estimate is really hard mm-hmm. to say. The latest statistic, according to the American survey, it says that there are about 200,000 foreign-born in New Mexico. And then according to the Hispanic Pew, they say that about 40 to 50% of that is undocumented. But it's really hard to get a exact number because a lot of people, for fear, will not report their stay here in this country.
But that would suggest that an astoundingly high number of undocumented people have obtained driver's licenses
yeah.
here in New
and
Mexico.
Let's also remember that up to 2008, people who had a social security number did not have to provide one when they obtained a driver's license. That was changed in regulation. And so when the Tax and Revenue Department gives this number of 96,000 people, it's not just undocumented immigrants.
But just focusing on the undocumented, ostensibly, you would think it would be a good thing if people who were driving had driver's licenses.
You
right?
used a really good word, sensibly. And I think that that's what New Mexico did in 2003. It took a very common sense approach to dealing with immigrants in the state. We have seen, and not only we have 2,000 members all over the state, we have seen an increase in willingness of immigrants to report incidents, to report crime, to be witnesses to crimes, to be able to show up to court. Before, people would be afraid to show up to court if they got a ticket for non-payment of insurance or for not register their cars.
Yeah, that's another little twist on this, because as I understand it, it's very hard to get auto insurance if you don't have a driver's license.
It's
most
impossible.
Most insurance companies won't write it.
That's right. You have to provide your insurance. You have to get your insurance, you have to get your registration.
And again, ostensibly, you would think that would be a good thing if more people were driving with insurance.
It is a good
before.
Thing. It is a good right. thing. And most people understand that that's a good thing. Most people understand that if we take away 96,000 licensed drivers in New Mexico, it would hurt public safety for all of us. Because even though it's only 96,000 people that we have, it would still, you know, increase our premiums, our insurance premiums. It would increase or decrease the ability for law enforcement to identify those people who have a criminal record. It's really bad for officer safety. In fact, law enforcement officials have gone to testify in numerous occasions before committees at the legislative session and have said how great it is for them to be able to, when they stop somebody, immediately know whether that person, if they have a social security number or not, because they have a driver's license, to be able to identify that person, first of all, to see if they have any pending warrants, to see if they have what kind of criminal record do they have. And that increases officer safety.
So the counter argument is, hey, look, you know, there's this NMSU study that says that the percentage of people driving without insurance is just as high as it used to be. And that's not undocumented people. That's just all people. And there's still a fair number of people driving without licenses. And so people who oppose this law and favor the repeal say, well, it hasn't really made a difference.
Well, it would make a difference if you take away 96,000 licensed and insured drivers away from this poll in New Mexico, from this group of people who just, because when we ask people, when we ask immigrants, would you drive without a license? They would say we had no choice. We live in a very rural state.
Were these people who weren't driving before they had the opportunity to get a license?
People were driving without a license before because they had to drive without a license before. And when given the opportunity, they went into a state agency, which is the MVD, the Motor Vehicle Division, gave their information, gave information about their identity, provided identity documents, provided residency documents, and provided information about where they lived. And so now these people are trackable.
All right, let me just mention that my name is Stephen Spitz. This is New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas. And today I'm very happy to have in the studio Dr. Gabriel Sanchez, who's a political scientist at UNM, and Elsa Lopez, who's a community organizer for Somos Un Pueblo Unido. And Gabe, I'd like to turn to you if I could. And it's sort of hard for me to understand on the surface why Governor Martinez is pursuing this repeal as vigorously as she is.
I don't have a direct line into the governor's mind, so I'm going to be kind of basing this on what my perception is. But I think if I were the governor, I would say, look, I openly campaigned on this issue in the primary, one. I openly campaigned on this issue in the general election, one. So I perceive that I have a mandate to enact this policy.
And she points to this poll.
Correct.
That I think even Hispanics in general are very much favor repeal,
right,
According to this, I think, journal poll.
I think Albuquerque Polling Inc.'s data.
Right.
That showed that the overwhelming majority of people, I mean, in the question asked directly, do you basically favor or oppose allowing undocumented immigrants to have access to a driver's license? And the overwhelming majority of just about every voting block you could analyze said, we don't really like this particular policy. Now, the interesting dynamic is, in that poll, that was really the only opportunity people had to voice their opinion. There wasn't a suggestion of an alternative plan, a compromise plan, so to speak. Other data I've seen out there suggests that similar numbers, about 64% of the New Mexico population, if you give them an opportunity to say a compromise plan, don't remove access to driver's licenses, but add some additional requirements, overwhelming majority of New Mexicans are saying, I like that idea. And that's probably, I'm not a gambling man, but if I was and I had to kind of place what's the political climate going to be, you know, really on this next round of trying to get this passed, it's going to be very similar to what we saw last time. I don't think the governor has the numbers to pass her particular plan, the more stringent one. So you're going to see a compromise bill being offered by another segment of the state legislature, which it's at least in line with this other poll, what New Mexico voters want to see. And it'll really become a question of whether or not the governor wants to stick to her guns and say, look, I'm not going to sign anything unless it's what I want, or kind of have some middle ground where a compromise is met.
You know, I guess, if I were a Hispanic female governor, and all I had were politics in mind, it seems to me I would be reaching out to the Latino community as opposed to, you know, having a hostile relationship with the Latino community.
Yeah, and it depend on how you view that in terms of being hostile or not. You know, another thing that's kind of obvious is the governor will always make the point that we're one of only two states that does this. I believe it's us and the state of Washington. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can make a simple argument to voters and say, look, we're one of only two states in the union that does this. Why?
I'd like to try to understand also the relationship between driving without a license, driving without insurance. I know that Governor Martinez has directed the state police to inquire about immigration status if you're stopped for another kind of violation. I'd like to inquire about how that works in terms of deportation.
Unfortunately, we have seen this deployment of new programs that collaborate with jails. So what happens is that either jails sometimes give the inmate information directly to Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and then they find out if the person is undocumented, or they specifically will ask about your status when you're booked, and then they give that information to ICE.
Are they compelled to do that, or state officials just do that because they think they should be doing that?
They think they should be doing, but it's not a mandatory.
It's not a federal law.
It's basically a collaboration between agencies, but it's not necessarily a mandate.
Let's say driver's licenses are repealed, and now you're undocumented, you're driving around without a license, you're driving around without insurance because you can't get that either, and you're pulled over. Is this something that in Albuquerque or in Santa Fe or on a public highway, are you immediately subject to being arrested and then turned over to ICE or not?
That's a good question. I think that there is a general belief that officers should not inquire or do not have the right to inquire about immigration status. And that's not true. Just like I or you can ask anybody about immigration status, the officer, especially if it's leading to the investigation, can ask. There are specific policies in place, like in Santa Fe, in Taos, in Albuquerque, that sort of limit that ability. Because what they want is officers to concentrate on criminal activity and not on enforcing federal immigration law. The difference now, and if you talk to the immigrant community, when we have these community meetings all over the state, is that the circumstances, the political environment, just the political, the environment in general, it's very harsh. It's very anti-immigrant. We, for instance, in Roswell, New Mexico, have seen, we worked with the police there to actually ensure that they were not violating people's rights, because people were being asked just because of their appearance. Unfortunately, they were being asked about the immigration status. Now they have a policy not
ask
to do
when?
That.
Ask when? Subject, you know, incident to an arrest, just being stopped and asked.
Just being stopped. We had instances of
if,
people
if
being
say,
in the
look,
park.
And they say, look, I'm undocumented, they're taken away?
That's right, yeah. They're booked. Either they have immediate contact with ICE. But I think that it's very interesting to hear, you know, now we hear the governor say this is not about immigration. But at the beginning of the year, this was all about immigration. She sort of changed her tune, you know, after her first attempt failed of repealing this law.
I have one more deportation question I want to ask you. But before I do that, I just want to mention that this is New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas. My name is Stephen Spitz, and you've just heard Elsa Lopez, who is a community organizer for Somos Un Pueblo Unido. And also on the show is Dr. Gabriel Sanchez, a political scientist at UNM. And here's my last deportation question. Supposedly, Obama changed the deportation criteria when he came into office in 2009. I've heard from a lot of people that not much changed on the ground, that you still had people who came here as children, elderly, children themselves being deported. Is that what you have seen? And have you noticed a change since June when a re-announcement was made and supposedly more specificity was added to the policy?
What we have seen is an increase in deportations because of this collaboration with jails. We have seen an increase in quotas. For instance, this year, the quota for Immigration and Customs Enforcement for Homeland Security is 400,000 immigrants that need to be deported. And so far, I think it's we're at 485,000. So they have a job. They have more money, so they have
That's
to produce,
key.
Right?
That's the key. Resources have expanded.
Yeah, and actually, I want to sort of flip around my question of why is Martinez doing this? Why is Obama doing it? He came in promising comprehensive immigration reform. It didn't pass. I mean, I don't know if you can blame him. He didn't have the 60 votes in the Senate. But then he increases deportations. He doesn't seem to be able to get control of immigration and enforcement. And he's angered the Hispanic community. Mm-hmm. And again, it doesn't seem like that this is smart politics.
Well, his gamble is by showing that I'm tough on immigration, by showing, look at the deportation numbers, I have a greater likelihood of getting some of those crossover conservative votes. And he's gambling on that.
So this is all a battle for the independents.
I would suspect that it is. The danger is you're alienating Latino voters. Our data at Latino Decisions is very conclusive on this. You know, one of the data points, and we do briefings on our data with Obama's administration. And for a long period of time, they really couldn't understand the question that you asked. How are Hispanic voters, they don't care about immigration. Why should we change our policies? Isn't that costly electorally? And the one data point that changed their opinion, and we'd like to take some credit for the little bit of change in deportation policy that happened recently as a result of Obama's administration, the one data point is we showed that 25% of Latino voters, all citizens, voters that voted in 2008, know somebody personally, a friend or family member who's been deported over the last 2 years.
Wow.
And those folks, very sour on President Obama.
It makes
sense,
indicating
that they're not necessarily going to vote Republican, but they're likely not to vote at all. That's costly politically. So the politics of this are very interesting. Unfortunately for President Obama, he is not able to kind of keep Latinos, you know, the wool over their eyes and promise, you know, the Dream Act or promise comprehensive immigration reform, but then basically do the exact opposite. The overwhelming majority of Latino voters, somewhere in the ballpark of 70%, are aware of the deportation numbers. They're acutely aware of
it. Yeah, they seem
so
to be very sophisticated in their understanding of what's going on with immigration reform and with deportation.
Well, it's personal. You know, for a lot of Latinos, just kind of as we've been talking about, why is this broader than immigration? If you look at some of these state policies, they're saying we can potentially police you if you're perceived to be undocumented. Well, if you're perceived to be undocumented, what does that mean? That you look maybe something like me, you know, 5 foot something, dark-skinned individual, right? Doesn't matter necessarily whether you're documented or not. You are subject to being able to be policed because of how you look. And so for a lot of Latinos, it's personal. They have family members that are having to go through this. They know friends that are having to go through this. So I think that's what's distinct. It's not just a political issue for a lot of Latino voters out there. It actually is a personal one.
The other side of this is, and maybe this is where the Obama people are coming from, I think my sense from looking a little bit at your polling data is that Latinos are so sophisticated that they kind of understand what the alternative is. And because of that, they seem to have, to me, surprising amounts of approval for Obama's policy, surprising indications of support that they would vote for him in 2012. And right. They seem to be one of the most supportive groups that I've seen.
Right. Well, this is electoral politics, right? It's in the context of you don't get to vote for some hypothetical candidate that has all the issues you care about, right? You have a choice between the incumbent in this context, President Obama, and a slew of GOP candidates that are extremely conservative on immigration. So when we asked Latino voters about the GOP candidates, it's very clear. They perceive basically all of the candidates on that slate to be so extreme on immigration.
Yeah, when you talk about an electrified fence, you're not going to win many Latino voters.
Yeah. So if you're a Latino voter, the way that I'd sum up our data over the past year is most Latino voters are either looking at voting for President Obama, not so much because they're in love with his policies, but is better than the alternative, or not voting at all.
Yeah, let me just ask you one question about that, because a lot of people try to explain Dinesh's defeat by her support of driver's license repeal for undocumented immigrants, that she sort of dampened the enthusiasm of Democrats and the Latino community. It seems like a lot of people are wondering what's going to happen in 2012 in New Mexico and in the United States generally with enthusiasm. The support for Obama seems to be, for example, among Latinos, pretty solid. But what about the intensity? Where do you see that going at the moment? I know we're a long way off. Where do you see that going in New Mexico and in the United States?
Folks are basically referring to this as an enthusiasm gap. And basically this boils down to registered Republicans are much more enthusiastic about voting in 2012 than registered Democrats are. And that's playing out in the state. That's playing out nationally. So the last time I looked at the data, what we saw is basically 68% of people, registered voters, who are sure they're going to vote for one of the GOP candidates, so hardcore Republicans, 68% of them are extremely enthusiastic about voting.
Yeah, it's funny. They're enthusiastic about voting against Obama, but not for a Republican candidate.
Correct. Now, obviously, you know, as soon as one of these individuals on the GOP side decides that they're going to step up and take this ticket, things are likely to change, right? You'll see people galvanize around whoever is going to be the front runner that ends up taking that side of it. But I think that's very much the case. They're basically mobilized by an anti-Obama attitude.
And so how do you see it on the Democratic side?
Democratic side, about 50%. So an 18% gap of, you know, hardcore Democrats are enthusiastic about voting. So that's a pretty significant gap, particularly among Latino voters. We asked directly, we said, you know, basically looking back to 2008, were you more enthusiastic about voting in 2008 than you are about voting now in 2012? And it's very one-sided. People were much more fired up about voting, much more excited, much more ready to get into the polls back in 08 than they are now. And I don't anticipate that changing all that much between now and the election.
Okay, so we're nearing the end of the show, and I'd like you to put on your predictive hats. And let me start with you, Elsa. You kind of heard Gabe's predictions for what's going to happen with driver's licenses. And basically, it seems to be like there's essentially three alternatives. It could be repealed. Nothing could happen. It could be bottled up in committee. Or the compromise. And I guess Somos has been pushing this compromise that you've both talked about.
Well,
could pass. So what do you see
may
happening?
His wishes become true, que sus deseos se hagan realidad. You know, we really hope the legislators continue supporting a common sense approach to licensing undocumented immigrants, because in the end, we are both the immigrant community. Our job is to bring up our reality as an immigrant community. I just first like to add that immigrants don't live in a vacuum in New Mexico. Immigrants are part of every community. We're taxpayers. We're contributing to the local economy. We're contributing to our workplace. We're contributing culturally to the state. And I think that hopefully legislators will continue to understand that this isn't just about undocumented immigrants, that this is really an issue of where do we want to take New Mexico to? Do we want to take it to our neighboring state, Arizona or Alabama? Or do we want to continue with the common sense approach that continues to license undocumented immigrants, but that it strengthens identity and residency requirements? We really, the compromise bill or the sort of the other approach to repeal is so that immigrants who have a license now will have to go and renew their license in according to this bill every 2 years. They will have to prove additional proof that they live in New Mexico up to 6 months. They would be deterrents to fraud. Now it's a fourth degree felony. It would be a third degree felony. So all of those mechanisms that, in fact, the governor has the power to do. She has the power through a regulation to change some of the things that we are talking about in law. But fortunately, the Senate last legislative session had the ability to draft up this compromise bill. And we hope that they can vote for a common sense approach, that they can vote to something that is not only good for them politically, right? Because in the end, they need to get elected, but also good for our community in New Mexico. We immigrants are part of New Mexico, just like the governor, Susana Martinez, said when she was in campaign, she chose New Mexico. We chose New Mexico, too.
All right, Gabe, I would like to ask you a somewhat broader, somewhat different question. That is, we saw comprehensive immigration reform fail with George W. Bush. We saw it fail with President Obama. He couldn't get the 60 votes to get past the filibuster. And it looked pretty hopeless at the moment. On the other hand, there's this new phrase, demography is destiny.
Yes.
And I think Latinos are about 16% of the country at this moment, population.
Right, but, and growing.
But growing, like 25% under 5 years old, 22% under 18. Mm-hmm. So when and how do you see this changing, or do you see it changing?
Well, kind of as I started, this is to me largely about economics. So my simple answer would be when the economy starts to pick up, you're going to see all this hostile tone, at least among the general population, start to dampen quite a bit. And the political climate will be much more ripe for something like comprehensive immigration reform to happen. You also have
to. And comprehensive, that means really accepting the people who live in our communities as being part of our communities.
Greater path to citizenship and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it also requires elected officials, particularly at the highest level, the president, to have the political will, just like, the president did in the context of healthcare reform. Used a lot of political capital, said, I'm going to make this happen, and stuck with it. I haven't seen that level of leadership as it relates to immigration. So that's where we're at now. One other thing that's troubling in the context of the state is, unfortunately, we've seen some elected officials in the state use undocumented immigrants as kind of a wedge to try to push other issues, largely photo ID laws as it relates to voting. There's a huge discussion about all these undocumented immigrants that were supposedly voting. And as a consequence, we need tougher laws. We need photo ID, right? After they actually crunched the numbers, at least the last time I looked at that data, there was potentially two undocumented immigrants that actually had voted, one of which did so accidentally. I don't think that's grounds to make that big of an issue, because that's driving the public to perceive, yeah, undocumented immigrants are bad for our community. They're bad for society. I find that very troubling. Of everything that I've seen across the state, that was the one that had me scratching my head the most.
We're going to have to leave it there. I would like to thank my guests, Dr. Gabriel Sanchez, a political scientist at UNM, and Elsa Lopez, a community organizer for Somos Un Pueblo Unido. I would also like to thank my engineer, Joe Green, my producer, John Burgund. You've been listening to New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas. My name is Stephen Spitz. Podcasts of this and other locally produced shows can be found at KUNM.org. Archives of my prior shows can be found at the Spitz Report. Thank you for listening. See you next time.